Greetings, friends. This is Dick Flax, your occasional host here on Inside Isla Vista. My guest today, as is often true, is Jonathan Abood, who's the director of the Community Service District in Isla Vista, among his several important roles in the community. Welcome, Jonathan, again to Inside Isla Vista.
Thank you.
It's a kind of good moment to converse because the dreaded Deltopia has come and gone, and so I was eager to get your reactions to that, because you and the CSD are important players in that whole situation. And I don't think there's been that much reporting in the press or anything about what happened this past weekend.
It's hard to say one definitive statement on Deltopia because there were so many different, you know, good and bad parts. No one died this year. That's good. It wasn't a riot this year. Also good. But there were two sexual assaults.
Oh,
that's really bad. That's one of the worst things that could happen. So, and that's two reported. There could be more. And there were over 100 medical emergencies, which is a record breaking. And there was also over 250 citations made, also a record breaker. So it's a mixed bag of things. I mean, I think we do have to be thankful that no one died, because other years people have died during Deltopia, whether from overdose of fentanyl or falling off the cliff. So that didn't happen, thankfully. But you know, there were other problems associated with the day. The CSD's event that we throw as like an alternative and a pressure valve releaser for Deltopia was a huge success. We had people, you know, at least 4,000 people, if not more, come to it, and they were standing in line for tacos for an hour, which means it's an hour of them sobering up and not drinking more. That's the goal of the tacos, is get them in line for an hour and keep people occupied. We had excellent bands who we compensated very highly, who were IV local bands, and so that means they were playing our show instead of other shows, so it kept things centralized where there was, you know, good live music. We had a bunch of other things going on. We had bathrooms deployed across IV, water stations around IV. So we did our part to help keep things, you know, instead of people peeing off a cliff, they could use the bathroom that we put up on the street to help minimize any issues with the cliff. So there were like a lot of harm reduction measures taken by the CSD that, you know, I think helped a lot. And our festival, we noticed, became just like a beacon point for people. Everybody knew where it was. If you were having a bad time for whatever reason, people kind of just showed up to our location. We had an EMT tent with three EMTs, multiple different safety stations. So we definitely were drawing people who, yeah, they wanted maybe tacos, but maybe they just needed a place to chill out, or they were feeling overwhelmed or having some issue, they came to us. So, and we noticed we were packed way earlier. Last year, it took until like 3 or 4 for us to reach a big number of people there. This year was, you know, right when we opened, it was full. So it was a busy day in IV for sure, busy weekend.
So what do you think accounts for the increase in problems that you mentioned, the citations, the medical?
Yeah. Well, it's like a two-parter or three-parter, let's say. So one is people started partying at like 7 a.m. or earlier. I woke up at 7 a.m. because of the music being so loud. I live like a block away from DP, so I'm in it. But we heard that maybe even 6:30 was when things started. And I was out at 9:30 a.m., putting up signs, like directing people to where the bathrooms and such are. And it was pretty well populated on DP. I don't want to call it crowded. It wasn't like shoulder to shoulder yet, but there were parties already going. There were people already out there. Like it might be at 12 PM in other years. So it started way earlier. So if you're drinking at 7 and you're still drinking at 1, there's going to be more medical issues. What we heard is that some people did that because in reaction to the ordinances that were in place. But to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because So while there were some changes to the ordinances this year, one of the main things that didn't change and has been the same for 15 years or more is that there's a 6 p.m. cutoff time. So it's always ended at 6. So I don't know why you would need to start earlier because it's never ended before or after 6. So we need to figure that out. So
Step back for
people,
one second. So, for those of us who are extreme outsiders like me, what do you mean by 6 p.m. cutout time, cutoff time?
So there's a festival ordinance in the county that essentially says that after 6 p.m. there can be no organized events or music or parties, essentially. Before 6, they're allowed under certain conditions, as long as it's not more than 250 people, as long as you're not paying for alcohol at the party, as long as you're not charging for tickets, you know, things like that. You're allowed to have a party with your friends. 200 people can be there. Everything's free. That's 100% allowed, as long as other bad things aren't happening. If there's like a sexual assault at your party, the party's shut down, for example. But otherwise, if you're, you know, having a party that's following other laws, and it's 200 people and it's free, you could have a party from the morning or until 6 p.m. But 6 p.m. has always been the cutoff time. From years past, from the festival ordinance. The festival ordinance was just updated this year to have the 250 person cap. It used to be 500, so now it's 250. And then there were some other changes made to it, but that was the most major. So there was that, like, people started drinking very early. People also in Isla Vista, like Isla Vista residents, definitely. You know, they promote this event on social media and invite their friends from out of town, and the out of towners definitely are they can't, they're not in their natural environment, they're not home, they're in a different place, and they're maybe exerting themselves too much or don't know the local rules, and so they're getting citations or medical emergencies. We don't know the splits of anything, so I can't really say, oh, it was 90% out of towners that got tickets, or it's not, I don't know that. We don't know. We don't know that information yet. But we do know that there were a lot of out of towners, and you know, who brings the out of towners? The residents. It's not like they just come out of nowhere. Residents invite them, so the town was definitely full, like beyond full. And I think there was that component. There was just more people this year, so not like, you know, more people can mean more issues. And there was also a lot more police, so there was more police on the ground, so they would see more issues and, you know, cite for those. Last year there were less police than this year, so I think it's a combination of different factors. But
Are you saying that the greater number of police, in a way, can provoke things? Is that what you're suggesting?
not provoke things, but they're going to see more things
Oh,
happen.
I see. That's why
Like,
there's more citation. Yeah.
I mean, there could have been more action. I don't know if there were more actions that, you know, necessitated a citation or not, but there were more police for sure. But there were also more out of towners who, I don't want to pin it all on them, but, you know, they sometimes do more of the things that cause a citation than residents do. But I don't want to say the residents are, you know, 100% pure and don't do anything wrong either, because they're inviting out of towners and you know, contributing to that. So
So
it's a lot.
I remember 10 years ago that one of the problems was that there were these commercial takeovers of to make party houses. Was that, you're saying that was not allowed this time? Or
Yeah, I mean, that was a problem last year, a really big problem last year. And yeah, that's now 100% illegal. Having commercial parties in Isla Vista, you can't charge for parties, you can't charge for alcohol, any of that kind of stuff is now totally banned. Which
But there were social media promotion of partying. Is that
of just coming, you know, just
just
being
come?
here. And you know, there's you can definitely see the appeal of like just a bunch of young people being in the street walking together. I think a lot of people do were just wanting to walk up and down and people watch, which, you know, can be fun. But I know I walked up and down DP 3 or 4 times, And I definitely noticed less parties. Maybe they were like, yeah, there were, especially like as like 3, 4 p.m. it was slowing down. But there were people, yeah, I think the out of towners had less things to go to. This is just my personal observation. I don't know if this is true, but it seemed like there were more closed parties. Like there were parties, but there weren't the open access, free flowing, like hundreds of people at them kind of thing. There were more, you know, closed off parties just for the people who lived there and their friends. But then there was a lot of people on the street. The street was filled to the brim, beyond filled to the brim. And so,
So how at your current age, how do you feel about Deltopia? Is it would you wish it goes away? Well, you don't have to be honest about this because you have to be officially open, but I mean, is it you feel it's like net positive or what? I'm just honestly asking. I have no idea because I've never witnessed it firsthand, but
I mean, it's clearly what people want. So it needs to, you cannot get rid of it. And so, and it, maybe we shouldn't get rid of it either, but it's what people want. And you can, government cannot really fight culture. It's like a losing battle. Government will always lose against culture, I think. So we just need to make it a safe thing and keep making it safer. And so I think the CSD event and, you know, moving north, like it doesn't all have to be on DP.
right.
Be like 30% in the downtown area, 70% on DP, and just creating a better, helping create a better environment for people to have fun. I think that's what our goal is to just, we're not at all wanting to eliminate Deltopia at CSC. We just want to make it a safer day for people because 100 medical calls is a lot. That's, you know, that's not good for anybody. Whether it's the person who needs the call or, you know, the rest of the area where medical services are, you know, being more focused on IV. I heard anecdotally that somebody who needed to go to Cottage, it wasn't for like a life-threatening issue, but they needed to go to Cottage and they had an 18-hour wait on the day of Deltopia
It was
because,
someone who was sick, not because of the event, but
yeah.
because there was, and that's because of the packed streets or the traffic. Is that?
No, because they all the emergency room was occupied with other,
Oh, I see. Yeah.
and that's with the county EMS agency putting out 20 beds in IV to like help divert
I see.
people from the emergency room, which they
So they had
didn't.
to wait in the ER for 18 hours. Yeah.
Yes.
That's ugly.
That's not good. You know,
No, no.
you can't concentrate all resources on one place. And, you know, all is an exaggeration, but, you know, one place cannot take all, you know, the majority of the resources. You gotta think of other people too. So the medical thing needs to definitely, that's the big focus, I think, and how we make this better is how do we just not have that many medical calls next.
So the various parking restrictions that are in place during the weekend have effect on the outsider influx, or do you think it's how useful are those things for the control?
Yeah, well, there's none in IV. And then there's the some on campus. So on campus, you can't park unless you have a night and weekend parking pass, which you have to be a student to get. And then in Goleta, they did some parking restrictions in the neighborhoods close to IV.
Yeah.
Now people have wised up to that because when I had to drive out of town briefly and come back. And when I was at the 101 exit at Stork, making a right to go back to IV, there were dozens of people to my left who were parking north of the 101, walking to IV. So
Oh, wow.
they're parking in pretty far neighborhoods, deep into Goleta. And I also heard that the airport parking lot was packed.
Wow.
So there's definitely a, yeah, parking will. And what used to happen in the past, which doesn't happen anymore, is a parking on DP. At least sometimes Sabado as well would be restricted and people would have to remove their cars, which, you know, is inconvenient, but also is kind of a good thing because it makes the street bigger so that more people can fit on the street, or you don't have to, not more people, but you can have more space between the people who are there. Because otherwise it's very packed. So having that extra 10 feet could be beneficial from not having the cars there.
So that's a good segue into another topic, which is a perennial, which is the parking situation generally in IV and the parking study that the CSD has been undertaking. So why don't you tell us all about that?
Yeah, we're reaching the end of the process now, where we're going to have recommendations and options for the community to start debating and weighing. It's going to be May 15th and 16th, when we will be having like a town hall and focus groups and other meetings for people to review what we've now developed. And this is based on a lot of community engagement and data collection. We've done 12 months of on-street parking occupancy rate data collection. We've done surveys. We've done focus groups. We've done so many meetings. We've been at the beach at sunset asking people about their beach usage. We've intercepted people as they parked and talked to them. And we've been really talking with the community and collecting data, but now we're our consultant. Who, side note, our consultant Dixon Resources Unlimited won Contractor of the Year for the Santa Barbara Special Districts Association. So that, that's another win for us because they've done such a good job. I think a lot of people have been impressed by that work. But our consultant has now started to develop recommendations, and they're definitely wide-ranging recommendations from the small things to the big things. Things like drawing parking spaces on the street. So like the hash marks, like the T that you might find in other cities, just to help delineate the spaces so there can be maximum efficiency. Having parking enforcement in the first place, which IV has currently zero parking enforcement. Having longer term stuff, like do we do things like congestion pricing in IV where like New York City is considering, where you make it, free for residents, but visitors have, congestion pricing. To how do we do street sweeping? Because right now you cannot sweep the gutters like you can do in Goleta or Santa Barbara, where the cars have to move and street sweeper comes in. So there's all these different ideas and options and potential plans that could be put into place, but now we're gonna start talking to people about how they feel about them and start seeing prioritizing them as well.
And do you think the consultants, are they going to make recommendations or they're just going to lay out what the responses have been to these different ideas?
They're gonna make recommendations.
They are.
Yeah, and they're gonna have, and that's gonna be something we approve in September as a board, our district's board. And it'll be definitely, I can say, I can't say what the recommendations will be for sure, but I know that it'll be a phased approach where we won't do everything at once. And we also will do things in a way where they build on each other. Like you can't do a parking permit program first, for example, if you don't even have parking enforcement going on in the first place on the basic rules. So how do you plan it out to be built upon each other? But yeah, parking permit program, of course, will be one of the things that we get into more details on. And but that's that takes the Coastal Commission and so many other layers of approval. But we will have a parking action plan, is what we'll call it, by the end of this.
So as I understand the process, so in May 15th is the date I think you said. So there'll be a town hall before the recommendations are actually formulated, right? The recommendations will come as a result of all of this, including.
No, we'll have draft recommendations for the town
Okay,
hall.
that's what I was wondering.
So, yeah, so there'll be, but that's when we'll refine them a lot between the town hall and approving an action plan. So the town hall will inform a lot of things.
And people are aware. This is an example of something CSD is doing that the community's been aware of. I mean, there's been engagement and stuff like
Lots
that.
of people have been involved. Yeah. And it's not just us. The county and UCSB are equally co-funding this alongside us. So we're all paying a third of the cost of the project. And so they're both county and UCSB are on our steering committee and intimately involved in all the discussions. So it's not just us, because it wouldn't be successful, we think, if it was just us doing this.
All right, so you feel pretty good about that whole thing.
We feel good, and we're also combining it with our mobility plans. So we know that you can't just solve parking on its own. We need to also figure out what other mobility accommodations people need. And so people will also on May 15th be prioritizing things like which bus routes need to have more service, which ones need to go later, where do we need to install bike lanes and IV and connections to the outside. So those kinds of projects will be in the mix too. So it's not just parking solutions, it's mobility solutions as well to get people to not need a car potentially too.
Okay, very good. So one piece of, to me, important news was that affects all of us is the settlement agreement that has been announced between the county and the city of Goleta, two agreements parallel to each other, and UCSB with respect to UCSB's failure to fulfill its plans and pledges with respect to housing. And of course, the most famous part of this has been the Munger project. The UCSB in this agreement agreed to a definite timetable for completion of the dormitory needs, which is, I guess, a total of 3,500 new beds. Bed spaces in effect will be created, and the timetable is kind of a two-phased project, a 2,100 bed development on the site that the Munger Hall was originally to be on, the facilities management area on campus, and then a second project after that I think is basically a kind of expansion of some of the existing dormitory buildings or situations on campus to be done totally by 2029. And if they don't, the agreement says if they don't fulfill the deadlines, then I think it costs them up to $1 million each for each of those two phases. So that sounds like a strong agreement. I have to say, I can't avoid saying that represents 10 years of wasted time. Those projects could have been developed instead of Munger, like 2015, they could have started, because I think by then it was clear that there was going to be some increase in, rapid increase in the need for dormitory space. Certainly by 2019, that was true. So everyone's involved in this seems pleased that there is this agreement, but it's very late, and the consequences of not doing the housing have been serious for the whole region, I think. And we can get back to that if we have time, but part of it, what they agreed to, the UCSB, was to a certain amount of money to the county and to the city of Goleta for projects, some of which are in Isla Vista. And that really raises some interesting questions for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean it, we've been doing a good job as CSD to help direct spending in the most efficient way for local needs. So, we've done that with county lighting money, for example. So we're here to help make sure that those funds are, spent on the most important things that the community feels are important and are it's efficiently spent.
So, have you officially raised that matter with the powers that be?
No, we just got through Deltopia. I think that just took a lot of the energy, but that's, it's on our radar.
I wonder who makes that decision. Is it the county? Probably, because they're the recipients of the money.
Yeah.
But UCSB could, if because they in their press release and so forth, they made the point of saying the projects that will be developed will be of joint interest to the local community and to the UCSB. So that's the claim, and that's maybe their own institutional justification for these several million dollars we're talking about. What do you think the projects are or might be?
I assume it'll be lighting and sidewalk projects. Would be that, yeah, there might be other things on there, but that's historically been what UCSB's money to the county has gone towards. Like when they did the LRDP, they had originally they had funds that went to the county for lighting and sidewalks. So I assume it's more of things like that, but I can't say for sure right now.
So the big, to me, vacuum in the agreement was there was not a definite commitment to a timetable for the faculty staff housing that was also in the LRDP. And there's a particular startup project that they've been promising for more than a decade called Ocean Road, which would change the physical relationship of the campus to Isla Vista quite a bit because it's housing and mixed use with some retail or other kinds of uses within the housing development right on the street or road that borders the campus and Isla Vista. And the intention, planning intention, includes making more of a integrated world between the two, between those two pieces of property, you might say. So Ocean Road was supposed to be developed with a partnership with a private developer. They have backed out the private developer, saying, I believe, they could make more money privately buying up or building private dormitories, which we're already seeing that kind of development in a scary way in Isla Vista, rather than partnering with UCSB. So there is no definite commitment or plan for the actual development of Ocean Road. And that's, I think, disappointing, and I think needs to be highlighted more than the public publicity about the settlement agreement has so far highlighted, because it is very clear that there's the housing crisis in part is because rentals that have been developed on a large scale now in Goleta Valley and in South County generally, they're only affordable to groups of students or, they're not able to be affordable to most working families, moderate and low income working people. So the market for rental housing is in part based on the fact that students can't find enough place to live on, in campus. And I think the same is true for the faculty and staff housing. So anyway, I always need to make that speech because I'm very involved in trying to hold the university accountable to it, to that. And of course, if as I said, the more that there were the faculty staff housing built, which includes not only Ocean Road, but a number of other plans that are in the LRDP, that would also have a big effect on what Isla Vista is. But there's really no word on the projects that go beyond Ocean Road in terms of timetable. So I just think people need to know that is still a big contentious possible issue, and it's just distressing that there's no momentum. Well, there may be interest in the administration in making sure they can do Ocean Road, but there's, I sense, a kind of pessimism right now that they can find the financing for it, and I'm not sure why that is or whether it really is valid pessimism. Anyway, that's my speech. I think we've run out of time, but this has been a very good and useful conversation for me, and I hope for those able to listen to this, and you will be able to tell your friends and neighbors to tune in as well. Thank you, Jonathan Abboud, as always, for your labors on behalf of the human race, and particularly Isla Vista. And by the way, I just want to tell you, I really like your foodie contributions on Facebook, which are filled with description and pictures. They're very much appreciated by me. And see you soon, Jonathan. Take care of yourself.
See you. Bye.